This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu al atamani al akmalani ala khayri khalqillahi ajma'in. Wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa man ihtada bihadiyah. Wastanna bi sunnatihi ila yawmiddin. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما وأرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه واجعلنا ممن يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسنه آمين يا رب العالمين وبعد فالسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Alhamdulillah, over the past year or so, we have been going through the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran and in the Sunnah. And we come now to the last few names with which, insha'Allah ta'ala, we will conclude this series on the most beautiful names of Allah, Asma'ullah al-Husna. And whatever names remain that we may not have covered, then for the most part, they are names that are either incorrectly attributed to Allah. So they are names that are not found in the Quran or in the Sunnah, or they have been taken from verbs, for example, or they are names that scholars differed over, whether they are actually names that should be attributed to Allah or not. But we have covered more than 99 names. With the names that we have tonight, it will be 110 names that we would have covered, alhamdulillah. And so tonight we have four names of Allah. And these names are not related to one another in any way. Each one has a different meaning to it. And so previously, every night we would cover those names that are related to each other in terms of their meanings. But these four names are not related. And so these four names are Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Al-Dayyan. Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Al-Dayyan. As for Mu'min, Al-Mu'min, it has been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is the remaining name that we have that are mentioned of the names of Allah that are mentioned in Surah Al-Hashr, at the end of Surah Al-Hashr, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُوَ اللَّهُ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ الْمَلِكُ الْقُدُّوسُ السَّلَامُ الْمُؤْمِنُ الْمُهَيْمِنُ الْعَزِيزُ الْجَبَّارُ الْمُتَكَبِّرُ. So here we have Al-Mu'min. And this is the only place it is found in the Quran. As for An-Nur, this name has also only been mentioned once in the Quran, and that is in Surah An-Nur, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam also mentioned this name, attributing it to Allah. And so in his dua, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anh, he says that when the Messenger of Allah would rise to pray in the middle of the night, he would say, Allahumma lakal hamd. Anta nuru samawati wal ardi wa man fihin. All praise belongs to you, O Allah. You are the nur of the heavens and the earth. As for al-warith, it has been mentioned 3 times in the Quran, but all in the plural form. In the plural form. Al-warithun. Al-warithun. In the plural form. And so in Surah Al-Hijr, in verse 23, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِنَّا لَنَحْنُ نُحْيِي وَنُمِيتُ وَنَحْنُ الْوَارِثُونَ. It is we who give life and cause death, and we are surely the warithun, the inheritors or successors. And in Surah Al-Anbiya, in the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam, Surah Al-Anbiya verse 89, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَزَكَرِيَّا إِذْ نَادَى رَبَّهُ رَبِّ لَا تَذَرْنِي فَرْدًا وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And Zakariya, when he called out to his Lord, Rabbi, my Lord, do not leave me without a child. Do not leave me alone, meaning without a child. وَأَنْتَ خَيْرُ الْوَارِثِينَ, while you are the best of the warithun. You are the best of inheritors. And in Surah Al-Qasas, verse 58, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَكَمْ أَهْلَكْنَا مِنْ قَرْيَةٍ بَطِرَتْ مَعِيشَتُهَا. How many societies have we destroyed that have become corrupted in their comfortable living? فَتِلْكَ مَسَاكِنُهُمْ لَمْ تُسْكَمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. Those are their residents, their homes, never inhabited after them ever again. وَكُنَّا نَحْنُ الْوَارِثِينَ. And we alone were the inheritors. So this is Allah's name, Al-Warith. It has also been mentioned in the Quran in the verb form once, and that is in Surah Maryam, verse 40, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَرِيثُ الْأَرْضَ وَمَنْ عَلَيْهَا وَإِلَيْنَا يُرْجَعُونَ. Indeed, it is we who will inherit the earth. We will inherit the earth and whoever is on it, and to us they will all be returned. So this is Allah's name, Al-Warith. As for Al-Dayyan, it has not been mentioned in the Quran as a name, but it has been mentioned by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And so in the Musnad of Imam Ahmad, in the hadith of Abdullah ibn Unais radiallahu an, he says that I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that the people will be gathered on the day of resurrection uratan ghurlan buhman, uratan ghurlan buhman, that they will be resurrected naked, uncircumcised, and impoverished, buhman. And so we said, what does that mean, Ya Rasulullah? Buhman, what does that mean? To be impoverished, meaning to be in poverty, to be in need. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, they will not have anything with them. Meaning, they will come to Allah on that day without anything, without any material wealth, anything of this dunya. And then it will be called out to them, أنا الملك أنا الديان. Allah will call out saying, I am al-malik, I am the king, the sovereign, and I am al-dayyan, the judge, the one who recompenses. And then he said, so Allah will say, I am al-malik, I am al-dayyan, and then he will say, it is not appropriate for any of the people of hellfire to enter hell when he is still owed something by one of the people of paradise, until I restore his dues meaning someone who is destined for the hellfire, he won't enter if he has dues that he owed someone from the people of Jannah, and so Allah will restore that. And it is not appropriate for any of the people of Jannah to enter Jannah when he owes something to one of the people of the hellfire until I restore his dues, meaning Allah. So we said, Ya Rasulullah, how will Allah do that? You know, how will Allah restore these dues? For example, someone owed somebody some money that he did not give back to him. This is material wealth. How will Allah do that when we will come to Allah in that state, naked, uncircumcised, and without any material possessions? So the Prophet ﷺ said, بِالْحَسَنَاتِ وَالسَّيِّئَاتِ, with good deeds and bad deeds. With good deeds and bad deeds. And so, whoever did wrong to somebody else without, and he left this dunya in that state, then the one who he did wrong to, he will take from his good deeds. He will take from his good deeds and they will be given to him, as mentioned in another hadith. So these are the four names that we have: Al-Mu'min, Al-Nur, Al-Warith, and Al-Dayyan. So what do these names mean? As for Al-Mu'min, it comes from, it has two meanings based on the root word. So Al-Mu'min, if it comes from the word Iman, as is the case to describe a believer, we are mu'minun because of our iman. We are people of iman. If this is the where this name comes from, al-mu'min, then it means that Allah is the source of iman and the bestower of iman. And He is also the one who verifies and testifies to the iman of those who believe. So he testifies that what the believers say and believe in is actually the truth. And so Allah Himself is a witness to the truth that He has sent for us to believe in. And there is no better witness than Allah. There is no better witness than Allah. As Allah says in Surah Ali Imran, شَهِدَ اللَّهُ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا هُوَ وَالْمَلَائِكَةُ وَأُولُو الْعِلْمِ قَائِمًا بِالْقِسْطِ. Allah testifies. Allah Himself testifies and is a witness to لا إله إلا الله. He Himself is a witness to the shahada that we believe in, that there is none who deserves worship except Him, as well as the malaika, the angels, and the people of knowledge. So this is the meaning of al-mu'min if we take it back to the word iman. The other possibility of the meaning of mu'min is from the word aman or amn, which means safety and security. So Allah is the source of safety and security, granting security to whomever He wills in this life as well as the next, removing fear from His believing servants. And so Allah is the one who provides safety and security, and He removes the fear from the hearts of those who believe, His believing servants. As Allah says in Surah Quraysh, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ, the one who has fed them against hunger and gave them security, making them secure against fear. Meaning these are two opposites. The opposite of hunger is to be given food. The opposite of fear is to be given safety and security. So Allah is the one who gives us safety and security. And so this is the meaning of Allah being Al-Mu'min, that He provides safety and security to His believing servants, and that is in this dunya as well as the akhirah. In this dunya as well as in the akhirah. As for An-Nur, An-Nur means light, and so Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth, as He mentioned, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard. And so Allah illuminates everything. And this is both in the literal sense, and so any source of light in this world that enables us to see, whether it be the stars or the sun or the moon, etc., its source is Allah. As well as in the metaphorical sense, or in the sense of Iman. And so this is the more important type of nur of Allah, His light, that He illuminates the hearts with Iman. And He guides people out of darkness into light. The darkness of misguidance to the light of guidance and Iman. And this is the parable that Allah mentions in that same verse in Surah An-Nur, when Allah says, Allahu Nuru Samawati wal Ard, then Allah gives us a parable, an example of that. And so He says, Mathalu Nurihi, the example of His light, Kamishkatin fiha misbah. The example of His light is like a lantern in which, or a niche in the wall in which there is a lantern, a lamp. And that lamp, al-misbahu fi zujaja, that lantern is in a glass casing. وَالزُّجَاجَةُ كَأَنَّهَا كَوْكَبٌ دُرِّيٌّ يُوْقَدُ مِنْ شَجَرَةٍ مُبَارَكَةٍ لَا شَرْقِيَّةٍ وَلَا غَرْبِيَّةٍ. That this glass, it's as if it was a shining star that was lit from the oil of the blessed olive tree, neither of the east nor of the west. يَكَادُ زَيْتُهَا يُضِيءُ وَلَوْ لَمْ تَمْسَسْهُ نَارٌ. That its oil would almost glow, would be able to glow even if it was not touched by fire. And so it is with a flame that a lantern is lit, with a source of oil. But here Allah is saying that it would almost glow even if it didn't have any of that, showing the power of this particular oil coming from this particular tree, the olive tree. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah guides to His light whomever He wills. وَيَضْرِبُ اللَّهُ الْأَمْثَالَ لِلنَّاسِ وَاللَّهُ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ عَلِيمٍ. And Allah presents parables for the people, and He has knowledge of all things. So this is the meaning of An-Nur as a name of Allah. As for Al-Warith, it means the one who inherits, or the one who succeeds, the one who takes over. And so Allah is the one who remains after all of the creation has perished, and the one to whom everyone returns, and the one who has everlasting ownership of all that has ever been owned and possessed. And He is the one to whom all possessions return when the possessor is gone, and the one who inherits all that we have done. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ar-Rahman, كُلُّ مَنْ عَلَيْهَا فَانْ, that everyone on the earth, they will perish, they will die. وَيَبْقَى وَجْهُ رَبِّكَ ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ, however, your Lord himself and his face will remain full of majesty and honor, ذُو الْجَلَالِ وَالْإِكْرَامِ. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the only eternal being. He has no beginning and he has no end. And after everyone is gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. And so this is the meaning of Allah being Al-Warith. As for Ad-Dayyan, it means the one who will judge us and recompense us for our deeds, whether good or bad. And so on the Day of Judgment, when we will appear before Allah with absolutely nothing, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned in the hadith, naked, uncircumcised, and without any material possessions, when we come to Allah in that state, we will only have one thing that Allah has saved for us, and that is our good deeds. That is our deeds, good and bad. Our deeds, good and bad. And so Allah will bring us to account and recompense us, meaning He will give us our reward or our punishment based on what? Based on those deeds, good or bad, and not based on anything else. Obviously, after the reckoning, after the hisab, once it becomes clear that we either deserve reward or punishment, then, yes, there is something else, and that is the mercy of Allah and His fadl and His bounty. But besides that, Allah will judge us based on our deeds. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Ghafir, الْيَوْمَ تُجْزَى كُلُّ نَفْسٍ بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, on this day, every soul will be rewarded for what it has done. بِمَا كَسَبَتْ, what it earned. لَا ظُلْمَ الْيَوْمَ, there is no oppression, there is no injustice on this day. إِنَّ اللَّهَ سَرِيعُ الْحِسَابِ, and Allah is quick and swift in reckoning. And from the same root word of ad-dayyan, we have the word ad-din, which Allah mentions, and He describes the Day of Judgment as being yawm ad-din, maliki yawm ad-din, the malik, the judge and the king on yawm ad-din. So what is yawm ad-din? It is the day of recompense. The day of recompense. And Allah is Ad-Dayyan, the one who recompenses, the one who brings to account. And so these are the names that we have. And now we move on to the lessons that we learn from these names. And so the first name and the first lesson that we have is from the first name, Al-Mu'min. And so from this name we learn that one of the greatest and most comforting proofs of our iman, the thing that gives us or should give us yaqeen and certainty that we are on the right path, is the fact that we have the testimony of Allah and His verification. And so there is no greater testimony than the testimony of Allah. And this is seen in the dunya in the form of the proofs that Allah gives to His prophets and His messengers and the miracles that He gives to them. And it is seen in the akhirah in the form of direct observation. Everyone will see on that day that what Allah had spoken of was the truth. What Allah sent the messengers with was the truth. The believers will be delighted on that day to see that Allah indeed spoke the truth. And the disbelievers will be in despair when they see that what they disbelieved in was the truth. The second lesson that we learn also from Al-Mu'min is that Allah has guaranteed the safety and the security of His believing servants. And so we have nothing to fear. We should have nothing to fear. The believer, the mu'min, is someone who should not fear anything or anyone. And so even if there is a calamity that strikes us, and it may be painful, and we may be in a very dangerous situation, even then, we should not fear. Whatever calamity strikes us, there is good in it. And the end eventually will be one of safety and security. And this is something that the true believers, they understood very well. And a beautiful example of this, was Ashab al-Ukhdud, those who, you know, because of their iman and holding on to their iman, they were threatened to be thrown into a pit of fire when they believed. They were threatened to be thrown into that pit of fire if they did not disbelieve. And so they could see that this fire is right in front of them, and it's going to be painful. However, because of their iman in Allah, they understood that this is the path that leads to safety. This path that most people look at as being nothing but destruction, through this path, we get to the other side, which is the side of safety and security, and that is the eternal safety and security of the Akhirah. And that's why the believers, at the time of death, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends angels to them. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَ اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those who say that our Lord is Allah, and then they follow that up with istiqama, remaining steadfast upon the deen of Allah. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. The angels descend upon them, meaning at the time of death. أَلَّا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not fear nor grieve. At the time of death, the angels are telling them, you have nothing to fear. Meaning, what comes next after this? You have nothing to fear. And you have nothing to grieve, meaning, over what you are leaving behind. Your family, your children, you have nothing to grieve. Or the opposite, you have nothing to fear for your family, and you have nothing to grieve over departing from this dunya. And in a hadith Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, بِعِزَّتِي وَجَلَالِي, by my glory and my might, I do not combine two securities and two fears for my servant. If he feels safe in the dunya, I will make him fear on the day that I gather my servants. And if he fears me in the dunya, I will make him safe on the day I gather my servants. So, based on this, the true believer has nothing to fear. If he fears Allah in this life, then he'll be in safety and security in the Akhirah. But if he lives a life of negligence, and he lives his life not fearing Allah, he feels safe in this dunya. He feels safe. He commits sins and he doesn't fear the consequences of that. Then he'll have a lot to fear on the Day of Judgment. The third lesson that we learn, and this is from Allah's name, An-Nur, is that Allah described himself as being the light of the heavens and the earth. And so Nur is a name based on this. But Nur is also an attribute of Allah. And so Allah attributes it to himself in Surah Az-Zumar, verse 69. وَأَشْرَقَتِ الْأَرْضُ بِنُورِ رَبِّهَا. The earth will shine, meaning on the Day of Judgment, the earth will shine with the light of its Lord. So Allah has a light. It's like an attribute of His. And the Prophet ﷺ also attributed to Allah a light, and that is the veil of Allah. The Prophet ﷺ said, حِجَابُهُ النُّورِ. The veil of Allah is light. لَوْ كَشَفَهُ لَأَحْرَقَتْ سُبُحَاتُ وَجْهِهِ مَنْ تَهَا إِلَيْهِ بَصَرُهُ مِنْ خَلْقِهِ. That if he was to remove it, the glory of his face would burn everything of his creation as far as his gaze reaches. So this shows us that An-Nur is a name of Allah, but it is also an attribute of Allah. Allah attributes it to himself. The fourth lesson that we learn, and this is also from Allah's name An-Nur, is that Iman is something that illuminates in the heart. Iman is something that shines in the heart of the believer. And it repels anything that opposes it. If the light of Iman is in the heart, then it will repel that which goes against it. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ said, لا يزني الزاني وهو مؤمن. لا يزني الزاني وهو يزني حين يزني وهو مؤمن. ولا يسرق السارق حين يسرق وهو مؤمن. That the one who fornicates and commits zina, he doesn't do it while being a mu'min. And someone who steals, he can't do that act of stealing while he is a mu'min, a person of iman. Why? Because these things can't go together. Because iman is light that shines in the heart. It repels these kinds of sins. And so whoever wants that light, the light of iman, he needs to enable his heart to receive it. And that is by purifying his heart and by cleaning it out of shubuhat and shahawat, doubts that affect his iman, and lustful desires, shahawat. And Allah tells us that he guides whomever he wishes to this light of his. And so that shows us that not everyone is going to receive the light of Allah in his heart. يَهْدِ اللَّهُ لِنُورِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. Allah ends the ayah by saying that he guides to his light whomever he wills. And this is the light of iman. So Allah chooses to give it to those whose hearts he knows will accept that light and then will grow with it. The fifth lesson that we learn, and this is from Allah's name, Al-Warith, we learn that everyone is eventually going to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so we are all leaving this dunya, as well as those who inherit from us. And so when we leave this dunya, there are our family members who inherit our wealth and our possessions. We call them our heirs. And so they inherit from us, just like we inherited from those before us. And this process of inheritance is like a cycle that has been coming from Adam alayhi salam. And it will continue until the last day. But eventually this cycle will come to an end. And that is when Allah inherits. So there will be no one left on earth to inherit anything, and Allah will be the only one living. And so that is the meaning of Allah being al-warith. And so after all greed and lust and selfishness have been laid to rest, the one who remains is al-warith, the inheritor. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the son of Adam, he says, Mali, Mali. He says, my wealth, my wealth. And then he said, he doesn't realize that his wealth is nothing except that which he eats with and he consumes. So he earns money. He works hard to earn money. But then he uses it on himself. He eats. He buys things for himself. And it's gone. The Prophet ﷺ said, he eats of it, he consumes of it, and it is what he wears. He buys clothes with himself for it, and then these clothes wear out and he throws them out. He said, or it is your sadaqah. Or it is your sadaqah that you give, and you are saving it. You are saving it. You're putting it for yourself in stock, that sadaqah that you give. That is the only thing that doesn't wear out, that doesn't disappear from our wealth. The sixth lesson, also from Allah's name, Al-Warith, is that our wealth is not really ours, nor does it belong to those who inherit from us when we leave. And so all that we possess of wealth, not only of wealth, but even our own bodies, they are only a loan that has been given to us for a period of time by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so it is a test from Allah to see what will we do with this wealth that He has put in our hands. It belongs to Allah. It's not ours. Allah has given it to us as a loan to see how will we use it. Which is why the greatest motivation to give and spend in the path of Allah, in Allah's cause, is reminding yourself that this wealth is not yours. And when you give it, you're actually giving it back to its owner. You're giving it back to Allah. And that's why Allah reminds us of this in two places in Surah Al-Hadid. In verse 7 and verse 10. And so Allah says, آمِنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَأَنْفِقُوا مِمَّا جَعَلَكُمْ مُسْتَخْلَفِينَ فِيهِ. Believe in Allah and His Messenger and spend out of what? Spend out of what we have made you to be inheritors of. Meaning this wealth, Allah gave it to you and made you to inherit it. Spend of it. And in the other verse, Allah says, وَمَا لَكُمْ أَلَّا تُنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلِلَّهِ مِيرَاثُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Why should you not spend in the cause of Allah, while Allah is the sole inheritor of the heavens and the earth? Again, reminding us that the one who truly owns and possesses this, the true owner of all of this, is none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we discussed this previously when we looked at Allah's name, Al-Malik and Al-Malik. The seventh lesson that we learn, and this is from Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan. We learn from this name that Allah will be the judge for Yawm al-Din, the day of recompense, the day in which we will be brought before Allah with all of our deeds at hand, and Allah will recompense us based on that. As such, the intelligent person is the one who prepares himself from now, bringing himself to account today before he is brought to account tomorrow. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. O you who believe, have the taqwa of Allah, fear Allah, be conscious of Allah, and let each one of you to look to what he has sent forward for tomorrow, meaning for your akhirah. Why does Allah refer to it as tomorrow? مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدْ. Because most people think that that day is far. So Allah is reminding us that no, that day is very near. It is tomorrow. إِنَّهُمْ يَرَوْنَهُ بَعِيدًا وَنَرَاهُ قَرِيبًا. They think that it is far, the day of judgment. Allah says they think it's far, but we look at it as being very near. قَرِيبًا. And so Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu, he has his famous statement in this regard about bringing ourselves to account when he said, حَاسِبُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ قَبْلَ أَن تُحَاسَبُوا. Hold yourselves to account. Hold yourselves accountable before you are held accountable. وَزِنُوا قَبْلَ أَن تُزَنُوا. And evaluate yourselves before you are evaluated, and your deeds are evaluated on the scales. And then he said, the reckoning, the hisab, will be easier for you tomorrow if you hold yourselves accountable today. And so if there's anything we learn from Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan, it is a reminder to bring ourselves to account now for our shortcomings and our negligence in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, before Allah will bring us to account on that day. Finally, the last lesson that we'll take, also related to Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan, is that this name teaches us that the oppressed and those who are subjugated, there will definitely come a day in which Ad-Dayyan will bring justice, bringing comfort to them in difficult times. Those who are oppressed in this dunya, no matter what kind of oppression and injustice it is, whether it is great, whether it is small, when they remind themselves of Allah's name, Ad-Dayyan, this brings them comfort and ease. When they realize that this oppression will not go unanswered, justice will surely be done, If not in this dunya, then for sure in the akhirah, by ad-dayyal. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, reminding us that the oppression that we see, it doesn't mean that Allah is unaware. وَلَا تَحْسَبَنَّ اللَّهَ غَافِلًا عَمَّا يَعْمَلُ الظَّالِمُونَ. Do not think that Allah is unaware, that He is heedless over what the ظَالِمُونَ, the oppressors, are doing. Don't think that. Why? Allah says, إِنَّمَا يُؤَخِّرُهُمْ لِيَوْمٍ تَشْخَصُ فِيهِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Because Allah is only delaying. He is only delaying them for a day in which the eyes will watch on and stare in horror. And so these oppressors, they will have their day. And the oppressed, they will have their justice. And that is on that day, the day of recompense. In fact, believing in this is also logical, in the sense that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, being the creator, He is attributed with this attribute of justice that is an essential part of Him, of His being. That the creator must be just. And so it's impossible to believe that Allah will allow injustice in this world to go unanswered. And so this is also one of the proofs that there will be life after death. Because when we see oppression taking place and we see people being oppressed at the hands of oppressors and tyrants, and we see how they brutally kill them and murder them and massacre them, someone who doesn't believe in the afterlife, for him, this is a life that has gone to waste. And this person will never see justice, and this is completely unfair. But someone who believes in Allah and believes in life after death, and believes that Allah is a dayyan, then he will believe that no, if justice wasn't done here on earth, then for sure it will be done on the day of justice. That's why it's called the day of judgment and the day of recompense. And so these are the lessons that we learn from these names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so in the conclusion, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from us, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us knowledge of His names and His attributes. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable us to put these names that we have learned of His into practice, and to make us from among those who the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, that whoever learns and memorizes and understands 99 of Allah's names, then he will enter Jannah. And so this is not just by memorizing them without understanding their meanings and without putting them into practice. So these three things go together: memorizing them, and then understanding their meanings, and then putting them into practice. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from among them. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.